Well, good morning and welcome to Christ Church. It is so good to see you guys here today. And whether you're watching here at the Mandarin campus or on our online campus or Fleming campus, whether you're watching in Japan, Arizona, New York, or El Rancho, Dos Banditos, we are glad you made Christ Church a part of your weekend. We're super excited because we're going through just an incredible little series here called If Then, where we are taking a serious look at the promises of God. A real close look. And I tell you, there are a lot of things that we take pretty serious in life. There are. You know, some of us take going to the gym pretty seriously. Obviously not me, but some people do, all right? Some people take going to the gym pretty seriously. Some people take scrapbooking very seriously. They do. And others take, you know, well, they take NASCAR seriously. Some people do. Don't worry. Junior will be back. I promise, all right? He will make it back. Some people take their kids really, really seriously. Others take food very seriously. Hello, I know you're like, hungry now, right? And some of us, we take college football really seriously. I know. You notice, Gator fans, I was nice. I started out on equal playing fields this year. And speaking of football, we got the Mandarin High School Mustang football team with us today. Yeah. Super excited to have them. Coach Gray with us. We're so glad you guys are with us and pray you have a great and safe season this year. And you represent Mandarin well. So glad you guys are with us. Also, people take this thing pretty seriously too. Pokemon Go. Come on now. I tell you what, Pokemon, people take things really seriously. Now, one of the things I take serious in life, music. I love music. Now, I can't sing worth a lick, and you all know that, but I love music. That's why our family went to Nashville this summer. I love music. And growing up in the 80s, man, I loved my music television, otherwise known as MTV. Yeah, that's back when they used to play music videos on MTV, right? And maybe you remember November 30th, 1982. I remember where I was. I was at my uncle's house. It was right after Thanksgiving. Our family didn't have cable, so we loaded up in his house so we can watch this revolutionary new video that Michael Jackson created. Remember? Thriller. Remember when that came out? Oh my goodness, $1 million Vincent Price. I mean, man, everybody learned how to do this, you know? And I mean, it was awesome. I loved it. And then there was this another video in the 80s, man. I remember this one from Aha, Take On Me. Remember this one? I mean, I love this one. It's like, wow, you can jump into a comic book? Are you kidding me? I mean, I thought that was amazing. I also thought it was amazing that a man could sing that high. What is that, you know? I mean, but I tell you what, I'm eternally grateful to Aha, because I skated around the skating rink many times with a girl to their music, all right? And then here's another one. Remember this one? Remember Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer? I mean, this guy had some weird music videos. But I'm serious about music. Now, another thing I'm really serious about, and maybe you are too, is I'm serious about, like, my lucky T-shirt. I don't know if you guys have, like, a lucky hat or a lucky pair of socks or a lucky shirt, but I have a lucky T-shirt. And, yeah, my lucky T-shirt is my Hanson T-shirt. Now, don't be judging me, all right? Don't be judging. In 1987, y'all were bopping along with me, all right? Because I had this T-shirt nearly 20. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I went looking for it this week, and it has conveniently disappeared in my house. Certain people in my house get embarrassed because I wear it out in public, and, you know, they're embarrassed of me. But I love my Hanson T-shirt. I wear it all the time. In fact, it's one of those T-shirts now, and maybe you guys have. It's just, like, wore out. Like, there's holes, there's stains on it. And you don't wear it too often anymore, but I was mowing the grass a while back and had to run to Lowe's. And I had my Hanson T-shirt on, a pair of ball shorts and my Crocs and my Georgia ball cap. And I just prayed that when I went to Lowe's, that I didn't see any of you all, all right? Because I want to walk through that door. I was like, I want to get what I need and get out of there and not be seen. All right. Of course, I walk in. It's like, hey, Pastor Jason. I'm like, hey, you know. And it's this young lady that baptized a while back. And so I came over. She says, hey, I'm so happy that you're here. Guess what? My mom and dad are here. I want you to meet them. You know, and here I am wearing my Hanson T-shirt. And mom and dad are decked out. Mom's wearing pearls, all right, in Lowe's, for crying out loud. And here I am, and she's just looking me up and down, going, whoa. And she's like, you know, it's nice to meet you. Just wanted to make sure you guys were okay because I was worried my daughter joined a cult or something, you know. So what kind of people go to your church? And I'm like, well, yeah, people like me, you know. We're just normal people. We're a bunch of sinners, you know, and we like Hanson, I guess, and, you know, and it was just like, it just, that's who we are. We're just normal people just trying to do life together. And she goes, oh, okay, you're one of those. I'm like, yeah, yeah. She goes, man, well, you know, it sounds like you got a messy church. I'm like, thank you very much. We do have a messy church, and we love being a messy church. Because that's the kind of people that God wants to reach, messy people. And I said, ma'am, you're welcome to join us anytime you want. You know, and so they walked away, and the girl turned around. She's like, you know, and I'm like, woohoo, you know. And so I'm serious about my church. But I'll tell you, what I'm really serious about in life is life transformation. Man, there's nothing that excites me more than life transformation. Seeing somebody go from over here to meeting Jesus to see this new life. Man, it gets my heart racing. It gets my blood pumping. It gets my soul jumping. It is why I do what I do. It's what gets me up in the morning. I love movies about it. I love TV shows about it. I love books about it. In fact, I think it's one of the reasons we all love the Olympics. And by the way, USA, man, we are kicking tail, aren't we, over there? Woo! 60 medals already and counting. But I think one of the reasons that we love the Olympics is because we love those stories. We love to see those stories before a race or before a swim or before a match or something happens. And we hear the stories of these athletes and what they've overcome. And then we get to see them up there on the podium getting that medal around their neck. We love those stories. We love hearing stories of people who get knocked down and get back up and have a second chance in a life. You know, I think that's why we also just love spring. That's why we love spring, when the deadness of winter is gone and new life and flourishing things happen, new growth, things begin to bloom, color comes out. And that's why I think even more we love it when dead hearts get transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. Man, I tell you what, it gets me so excited to see what God is doing around here. We have got a front row seat, church, of watching life transformation happen every single week. And man, last Sunday night, woohoo, did we see a bunch of life transformation. Let's watch this video together.
The church leader of the family, you know, so it's a big responsibility.
I showed that I believe in Jesus. Same thing.
That I love God.
This is a new life for me, and a new start.
I'm so happy for her. I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, something we wanted to do since we were adult. We were baptized as babies, both of us, but now as a married couple, we wanted to do this together.
Today is a new day for a new life. I found some new peace with making that a part of my new life, and I'm hoping to be able to serve and to also help others come along on the journey.
My daughter introduced me to Christ Church back in September, and I live in New York, and I have been watching online since October. It's just been my dream since I came here to Jacksonville to help my daughter with her wedding. to attend Christ Church. We sit in the very front row and watch every Sunday. And it's like, I cannot get through a Sunday service without crying. God's calling to me to make a change, and I'm ready. I'm all His. For now, for always. He is my Lord.
And that is what it's all about. 75 people last weekend at Christ Church made a decision for Jesus and got baptized. Church, I hope we never grow so accustomed to seeing that, that it doesn't get your heart racing watching life change happen. I mean, it is truly something spectacular to watch. And here's the deal. I want you always to understand, Jesus didn't come to make bad things good. Jesus came to make dead things alive. That's what it's all about. And He isn't into behavior modification. He is into total life transformation. And He knows, just like those trees and just like those flowers, that if we want to bloom, if we want to grow, if we want to flourish, that we need to be connected to Him. And so here's the question. How do we just stay out of the season of spiritual winter in our lives? I mean, how do we live every single day continually in this season of spring where we can grow, where we can flourish, where we can thrive in our relationships and in our professions and in school and in our walk with God? Well, if you can imagine, Jesus has something to say about that. So if you have your Bibles, love for you to turn with me or fire up your devices to the book of John. John is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to be in John chapter 15 as we look at this promise today. And here's what Jesus says in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So Jesus says, the Father, God, is the gardener, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And the goal is in our lives to produce as much spiritual fruit as we possibly can. Now, Paul in Galatians chapter 5 outlines what those fruits are, and here's what he says. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So Jesus is saying if we remain in Him, that He will cultivate those kind of fruits in our lives. And then He will do everything He can to keep the weeds out of our garden, to keep the enemy away. And so in simpler terms, Jesus makes us this promise today. If we remain in Him, then He will produce fruit in us. If we remain in Him, then He will produce fruit in us. Now, I don't know anyone in here that doesn't want more love, more joy, more peace, more patience in their lives. And Jesus says this word, remain. 10 times in 10 verses, He says, remain. He's like, remain, 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 remain in me, and I'll remain in you. What Jesus is saying, if you want more love, if you want more joy, you want more peace, you want more patience in your life, then you are going to have to draw near me. You're going to have to stay close to me. You're going to have to be grafted to me. You're going to have to remain in me. And so then the question becomes, well, how do we do that? How do we remain in Him? Anybody remember being a kid and seeing a caterpillar for the first time? You remember seeing a caterpillar crawling on the edge of a stick or a branch? You remember maybe picking up a caterpillar and having them on your finger? I mean, can you imagine if that caterpillar crawled to the edge of your finger or crawled to the edge of that stick and he looked out into space and he said, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I mean, can you believe that? Well, I know you can't believe him singing R. Kelly, but all right. But here's the reality, all right? That caterpillar is not a butterfly yet. You see, that caterpillar has to go through this complete metamorphosis. He has to surrender to total and complete life transformation. And when you become a believer, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you start that process by surrendering to that life transformation. But hear me, getting connected to the vine, to the source, and staying connected to that vine, that's two different acts. And it doesn't happen just by willpower. You are saved when you surrender to the power, the transformational power of Jesus Christ, and you grow when you surrender to the transformational power of Jesus Christ. I love how theologian Dan Webster says this. Listen to what he says. He says, commitment is me saying, I'll do better. Surrender is allowing God to do his best in me. Commitment is me trying. Surrender is me trusting. Commitment is me striving. Surrender is me submitting. Commitment is me writing big, impressive verbal checks. Surrender unleashes the grace that can actually cash them. I mean, that's so good. And so Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And if we want more love, we want more joy, we want more peace, we want more patience in our lives, then we have to remain in him. We have to surrender to that life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. And there's that word again, isn't it? Surrender. Daily surrender. You're going to hear that throughout this entire series. Every one of these promises comes back to that word, surrender. And so the question we're asking today is, how do we remain? How do we remain? Well, I want to give you three words as we look at this today. And the first word I want to give you is the word feed. Feed. Church, it is all about what you feed your mind early in the morning. It is what you feed your mind early in the morning. People who live great lives think great thoughts. I mean, listen to what Paul writes in Romans 12. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, you know, when you want to get healthy, you want to eat better, you got to clean out the refrigerator and clean out the pantry. You got to get rid of the Pop-Tarts and replace it with fruit. And the same thing is true in your mind. When you want to renew your mind, when you want to think healthy thoughts, you got to clean out all those bad thoughts and replace it with new thoughts, good thoughts. But here's the challenging part, because your brain and my brain, it doesn't come with a delete button. And maybe for you, the greatest enemy in your life is your memory. It's your memory. Because our brains are designed to be like a file cabinet for all the things that have happened in our life, all these memories. So if your memory is filled with pornographic thoughts, our greedy thoughts, or pessimistic thoughts, or sarcastic thoughts, or hateful thoughts, then you are going to need God's help to give you new thoughts. And listen to what David writes in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path to everlasting life. Ask God to do this moral and mental inventory of your life, to point out all those corrupt thoughts, and then to replace those items on the shelf of your life with something new and something good. I mean, Paul writes in Philippians 4, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Listen, the first thing you do every morning is wake up and you roll over and you check Facebook and there's a negative post there. If the first thing you do in the morning is go and flip on the TV to some political commentary show and you see something that says, hey, the economy is tanking, I'm telling you, it's difficult to have a positive day. If you don't start the day out thinking good thoughts, thinking about truth, it's so hard to have a positive day, and you will have a negative day. But listen to what Jesus says a little bit later in John 15. He says, I've told you this so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You see, Jesus wants us to start our day with joy. He wants us to end our day with joy. But it's not going to happen if we start our day with negative thoughts. Don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. His name is Andrew White. He's commonly known as the Vicar of Baghdad. I mean, this guy's got an incredible story. He's an Anglican priest. He's been working in Iraq, working in Baghdad, working with the Muslims for years. He's been working there during the war. This guy also has MS. And so he is over working hard, and after Saddam was toppled, he was actually able to baptize 13 people in Saddam Hussein's swimming pool. I mean, isn't that cool? But unfortunately, a day later, 11 of those people he baptized were killed. Killed for their faith. And he's been working hard. He's been working hard against all these odds. He's baptized thousands of people. But get this, 1,097 of the people he's baptized have been killed for their faith. And so he was being interviewed, and someone asked him, said, how do you do it? I mean, how do you do it with your health issues, with being in a war-torn country, I mean working with Muslims, I mean all these people being killed for their faith? How do you keep on going? How do you do it? And this guy slowly, feebly got up from his chair, walked around to the back of his chair so he can hold on to the top of it and steady himself. And he began to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. Here's this guy, Cambridge educated, Anglican priest, changing lives. And he says the answer is in a children's song. He says it's all about the joy. And what did Jesus say again? Remember what Jesus just said? He said, I have told you this so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You see, joy is the fruit of the Spirit at work in us. And Jesus says, you stay connected to me and I will produce that in your life. Well, here's the next word I want to look at. Next word is focus. Focus. You got to start your day feeding yourself truth, feeding yourself positive thoughts. But then the challenge is to stay focused on those thoughts for the rest of the day. This week in our house, we had one of those monumental milestone moments. I stood in my driveway with my wife and watched my 16-year-old drive away by himself for the very first time. And you parents have been through that. You know what that's like, right? I was at the DMV picking out his license plate. I said, I want the one that says, In God We Trust. Because that's all I got right now. And so he drove away, and I was working in the front yard. And a few minutes later, my neighbor came out and was teaching his youngest son to ride a bike. I thought, wow, look at that. You know, I'm here, and the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue, and I'm crying. I'm like, oh, it goes so fast, you know. And so I was thinking back to one of the lessons I taught Eli when he was riding the bike. And this may be the most important lesson. I said, hey, wherever you look, that's where you're going to go. I said, if you're looking at a ditch, you're going to steer your bike into a ditch. I said, if you're looking at that tree, then you're going to run your bike into the tree. And that's the same thing in life, isn't it? I mean, your life will go where your thoughts take it. Another way of saying that is simply this. Whatever you choose to focus on is going to have your attention. And whatever has your attention has you. So if you spend your day thinking about how to get back at that person who hurt you, I mean that angry thought is going to turn into an angry day. If you spend your day trying to compare yourself to a sibling or a coworker, a classmate, or a friend, I mean, that jealous thought is going to turn into a jealous day. I mean, wherever your focus is, that's where your attention is going to be. And wherever your attention is going to be, that's where you're going to be. I talked to a guy in the church a while back, and his marriage was falling apart. And we're sitting down, and we were just talking about life and talking about what's going on, why he seems to think that this is going on. And he says, you know, I mean, my past life just keeps coming back up. He says, you know, before I met Jesus, I mean, I lived a wild life. I mean, I'd travel with my buddies all over the world, and we would party. It was sex, drugs, rock and roll. And man, I tell you what, that was my life before. Now I'm married. Here's the problem. All these thoughts just keep coming back up. They just keep coming back up. And I said, man, here's the reality. We can't resist thoughts, but we can replace those thoughts. And here's the truth. Those thoughts were ruining his marriage. Those thoughts were ruining his family. Those thoughts were literally tearing his life apart. And I said, man, we're never going to be able to stop having those thoughts. That's the way our brain works. That's the way the enemy works. Keeps throwing those thoughts our way. But we can replace those thoughts. And so if you have all these memories about traveling overseas and doing all that bad stuff, then guess what? Let's go on a short-term mission trip. Let's go overseas and let's serve somebody, somebody in need. I mean, it's so true. It's so powerful. Now listen to what Paul says in Colossians about this. Paul says this, that we've got to let heaven fill our thoughts. I mean, don't think only about things down here on earth. I mean, sometimes we got to replace these worldly thoughts with heavenly thoughts. And those past experiences, when they're fighting for airtime in our mind, we need to replace those thoughts. We need to say, you know what? That's not who I am anymore. That's who I used to be. But now in Christ, I have different thoughts. Listen to what Isaiah said about this. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Listen, you can either worry or you can meditate. And we know all about worry, don't we? I mean, you get that thought and you just kind of roll it over your head over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, the same thing is true when it comes to meditate. You get that positive thought and you roll that through your head over and over and over again. You see, that's why it's so important to feed your mind truth early in the morning and then to focus on that truth throughout the rest of your day. You know, people ask me all the time, Pastor Jason, how long do you spend with God every day? Well, you must spend a long time with God every day. And I said, the answer to that is actually very, very easy. All day. All day. God is with me all day long. God is with you all day long. And so the third word I want us to look at is the word flow. Flow. Yes, it starts every day by feeding your mind truth, by feeding your mind positive thoughts, and then focusing on those thoughts throughout the day. And when you do that, you are going to live in the flow of the Spirit in your life. And here's what I'm telling you. It's like a tractor beam. It's like a gravitational pull. You're being pulled towards Jesus because Jesus wants to do life with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, he is there with you. If you're in the bank, if you're in the drive-thru at McDonald's, I mean, if you're in the boardroom, the bedroom, the weight room, the locker room, whatever room you're in, wherever you're at, if you're folding laundry, if you're cooking dinner, if you're hanging with the kids, or you're putting them down to bed at night, he is there with you. He's there with you every step of the way. So listen, your life and your spiritual life, those aren't two different things. It's all your spiritual life. It's all your spiritual life. And I love how John Ortberg puts it. He's always got just a great way to say things. He says, we often assess how spiritual we are by how much we are pursuing our distorted list of what counts towards spiritual growth instead of by our fullness of life. He goes on to say, working with joy, tipping generously, listening to someone patiently, eating gratefully, reading quietly, playing happily, it all counts. Every moment is a chance to live in the flow of the Spirit. I mean, isn't that good? Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, whoever you are doing it with, he is there every step of the way. I tell you, David knew this. Listen to what he said in Psalm 139. He says, I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will be my support. And I'm telling you, you will feel so much more alive when you come to understand that God wants to be involved in the ebb and flow of your everyday life. And so let me challenge you. The next time that, that you're going for a walk in the woods, say, God, I want you to be my guide. God, I want you to be my compass today. God, I want you just to speak to me today. I mean, maybe lay down on the ground and just watch the clouds just blow over. And as you do that, hear the Creator say to you, he who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. And the next time you go for a run in the rain, ask God to set your pace. Ask God to be the air that you breathe. Ask God to be your coach that helps you overcome any challenges in your life. And hear him say to you, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in a place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again and again and again and again, item by item by item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Or maybe next time you're playing with your kids or your grandkids, maybe you're just playing in the yard, swimming in the pool, eating dinner together, doing dishes, doing homework, putting them to bed, listening to them talk about their day. The next time you're trying to shape them, ask God to shape you and hear him say to you, and this is what will happen when you, on your own part, will obey these directives, keeping and following them. God, on his part, will keep the covenant of loyal love that he made with your ancestors. He will love you. He will bless you. He will increase you. The next time you're stuck in a traffic jam, hopefully not that bad. Next time you're stuck in an airport for a layover, next time you get to the end of a long day swinging a hammer or checking over a spreadsheet or you're just tired of an irate customer, hear the God of the universe say to you, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Boy, that's tough. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the master, cheerfully, expectantly. Don't quit in hard times. Don't quit when the job gets tough. Don't quit when the marriage gets tough. Don't quit when the finances get tight. Don't quit when you're down by 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Don't quit. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. Boy, that's a tough one. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. And if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, God says. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. If he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Man, when you roll up your sleeves and you serve the poor, when you raise your arms in authentic worship, when you curl up on the couch with a blanket wrapped around you for a nap, he is there. He is always there. Wherever you are, God is. And that's why Paul challenges. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to our culture that you just fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Listen, I guess I can sum all this up this way, that the main measure of your devotion to God is not in your devotion life. It's in your life. All of it. All of it. Jump into the flow of the Spirit of God. Now let me just say this, because there's one thing that's going to do everything in its power to take you away from Jesus. There's going to be one thing in your life that's going to try to choke out like a weed the spiritual fruit, and that is sin. That is sin. I know it's elementary. I know it's not something in our culture that we like to talk about. In fact, did you know the people at Oxford Dictionary people, that they added words like twerk and selfie to the dictionary, but they removed the word sin from the dictionary? And when asked why, they said, you know what? Who are we to say what is right and wrong? Who are we to determine what somebody should do with their life? Who are we to say what is good and what is bad? That is the culture we live in today, church. Everybody should say, hey, whatever's good for you is good for you, but what's good for me is good for me. You do what's good for you, I'll do what's good for me. We don't want anybody to tell us we're doing anything wrong, that we're living in a spiritual winter. But that's where we are as a culture. And I love you and I love this community too much not to tell you that sin is deadly. Sin is deadly. And it's trying to rob you of that flourishing, full, growing life. It's trying to take you away from being connected to Jesus, the source of life. Now, I don't know if you do what I do when I'm checking out of Publix. I read all the magazines. I do. Because I care what's happening in the Kardashians' life. I really do, all right? But I love looking at Time because I love looking at Time because I always have the list, you know, 50 most beautiful people and 50 y'all, whatever. The other day I saw 100 most influential people. And it caught my attention. I'm like, well, I want to know who's influential in our country these days, you know? So I open it up and I'm looking at it. And evidently, here's the deal. Here's how you make the list. You find something that God says is not good for people, and then you promote it as good for people. That's how you make the list. I mean, that's how you become innovative. That's how you become an influencer. And evidently, the way you make the list the fastest is by either taking your clothes off in public or breaking some kind of law in public. That's how you make the list. But here's what our culture promotes. Sin. And here's what sin promotes. Death. Death. I'm telling you, we're living in a season, we're living in a time of spiritual winter. And what God wants for you and what God promises to give you is spring. And I don't know about you, I would love to read a magazine, 100 Most Faithful People. You know, that'd be great. I wouldn't sell any, but I'd love to read that, right? I mean, I love to read, you know, 100 Most Integrity-Driven CEOs. I would love to read a magazine, 100 people of when times got tough, when things happened, when life knocked them down, they got back up because they jumped in to the power and the flow of God's love. They remained. If you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you'll bear much fruit. That may be one of the greatest promises in all of the Bible. And here's what I know. I know there are a lot of us that are living in that season of a spiritual winter. You're on your cheek, you don't feel the warmth, you just feel cold because you're disconnected from the vine. You're disconnected from the source of life. You're disconnected from Jesus. I mean, listen to what Paul says. Paul challenges us with these words, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him so you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. And if you will feed yourself truth every single day and you will focus on that truth, then you'll live in the flow. And I'll produce joy in your life. And I don't know anybody who doesn't want more joy. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we pray to you right now as the gardener. As you are looking over your vine and your branches. Right now, we just ask for a season, a moment here, that as the gardener, you look over us, our branch. Are we withered up? Are we producing fruit? Do we need to be pruned? Are we completely disconnected from the source of life? Holy Spirit, just challenge us right now. Challenge us, all of us in this room that might be feeling just the coldness of a spiritual winter in life. We want to feel the sun. We want to feel the sun in our life. We want to feel the sun in our cheeks. We want to feel your sun in our hearts. Pumping life into us. So speak to us, gardener. Speak to us as we come before your throne. It's in your name we pray. Amen.